We hear this morning from the end of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Interestingly, Isaiah is one of the most prominent presences in the lectionary. Readings from Isaiah appear more often than the Gospel of Mark, and almost as much as the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, the early theologians of the church used to call Isaiah the fifth gospel. It's a very important work, quoted by other prophets, quoted by all the New Testament authors over and over again. And we read today from the end of that. It's interesting that in the scope of the book of the prophet Isaiah, it begins with the unfaithfulness, the unholiness of the worship of the Israelites, the impurity of their sacrifices, the fact that they have sweet-smelling incense, but their hearts aren't transformed. In other words, true worship is about self-offering. It's not about incense. It's not about the killing of calves and goats and lambs. It's about offering ourselves. And of course, we know that Jesus is the ultimate example of that. He offers himself on the altar of the cross. He is the true worshiper. So Isaiah begins with the unfaithfulness of Israel, and it ends with the faithfulness and the worship, the sacrifice of all the nations. That through suffering, through the exile, through being cast out of their homeland and into another province hundreds of miles away for a generation, through that suffering, they end up preaching the message about God's salvation to the Gentiles, to those in exile. And then gradually you have what became known as the diaspora, those Jews who never returned to Israel after the exile, but continued living on in various parts of the Near East, Greece and Rome and Mesopotamia. And their word about the glory of God, about the salvation offered by God, gets spread out through all the world. And then through their witness, these other nations eventually are going to come to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. And in the New Testament, something similar happens. Because of the persecution in Jerusalem, Christians begin to escape from that persecution, and they end up in Turkey and Greece and Rome, especially through apostles like Paul and Barnabas. The gospel message gets sent out to all the world, and then they get, you know, the conversion process continues on throughout history, and we're still a missionary church. We're still expanding. A church that isn't expanding, a church that isn't evangelistic, is not church at all. That there has to be some kind of deep passion about this that wants to share it, that finds this to be really good news, gospel, that is worth sharing. But a lot of that comes through suffering. Just as the exile was a huge suffering for those people, but something good came out of it. And in our lives, life throws certain tragedies at us, losses, failures, grief, suffering of all kinds. And basically we're faced with a choice in all of those griefs and sufferings. Do we allow that to form us, to grow us? Do we allow ourselves to see that as some kind of discipline that strengthens us, that makes us more worthy than we were before? Or do we just let it defeat us? There's a Spanish philosopher, Miguel de Unamuno, who wrote a short novel called Abel Sanchez. And Abel, of course, is Abel, and Sanchez is Spanish for white. And he has a good friend that he grows up with, Joaquin Negro, Cain, black, okay? And Abel, he's just good. And everything he does is successful and easy. And he never does anything bad. Joaquin is the opposite. For him, everything comes more difficultly. He's not as smart as Abel. He's not as naturally gifted as Abel. Everything he does, he has to strive for it. He has to work for it. And being good, he accomplishes it, but through struggle, not through ease. And in the end of the story, you kind of get the impression that Abel is good, but he's boring. He's shallow. And Joaquin is not so good, but there's some great depth to him, some character that Abel is never going to have. Joaquin has something that comes through discipline, through sacrifice, through suffering. And so I think Jesus today is encouraging us, along with Isaiah, to accept suffering as something that's going to make us more than we were. To accept suffering as a discipline, as something that deepens us and makes us more holy in the long run. Is holiness just empty goodness, or is holiness something that often comes through grief and sorrow? Something that comes through struggle. For the Gospel of Luke, the narrow gate is the church. All through the Gospel of Luke, membership in the church is essential for salvation. It's in Luke's Gospel where Jesus says, "Unless you are baptized by water and the Holy Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew and Mark don't say that. But it's not so much that Luke is intent on membership in the church. He means membership that comes through baptism, the baptism of dying, of shedding that emptiness and embracing death, embracing suffering, to become self-offerers. Always has to include death. It has to include suffering. Easy life may seem in the short run to be a prize. In the long run, suffering is the prize because it brings death, which brings eternal life.